This is Upstate's HealthLink on air, Linda Cohen along with you. Dengue fever. It sounds exotic, more like something out of an Indiana Jones movie than something we might hear of in central New York or in the United States for that matter. But dengue fever, a viral infection, is usually found in the tropics and that affects more than 50 million people worldwide each year, has returned to the continental U.S. And to date, there is no cure. Joining us with more on this is Dr. Timothy Endy, Chief of Infectious Diseases and Associate Professor of Medicine at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Dr. Endy.
Thanks very much for having me.
So let's start with what is the disease? What is dengue fever? I also saw it was sometimes called breakbone fever.
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
Well, dengue is it's a viral infection. So it's a virus, a very small, what we call an RNA virus. And it occurs as four different types, which we call creatively dengue 1, 2, 3, and 4. And they're very, very close cousins to each other, and they're known as a family of the group of dengue virus that's in the family flavivirus. Flavi being Latin for yellow, for the sort of the progenitor virus, which is yellow fever virus.
So in some ways it's related to the yellow fever virus?
It's a cousin.
Like a variant?
Mm-hmm. And the flaviviruses themselves have some very important viruses, including one that we're very familiar with in New York State, West Nile virus.
So that's another relative.
Right, another relative. So there's some characteristics that they all share, which the most important being that they're all mosquito-borne viruses. So dengue viruses, dengue 1, 2, 3, and 4, are spread by a mosquito virus. And when a person is infected and bitten by an infected mosquito and then infected, there is usually a 3 to 7 day, what we call an incubation period, where the virus is replicating, but you don't know that you're infected. And then you develop the classic symptoms of chills and muscle aches, fever, and then the degree of muscle aches or the bone pain that is experienced classifies it as a kind of a break bone. So patients who are ill describe it as being, I've got the breakbone fever. And that was really initiated during a very large outbreak in Philadelphia during the 1700s.
Oh, wow.
And Dr. Benjamin Rush described that very well with his ladies calling it a breakbone fever.
So then in some ways the bones were feeling like they were breaking because
exactly.
They were so painful.
Exactly.
I see. That explains that whole terminology. So how serious is it? I mean, let me just back up. So it's borne by mosquitoes, and mm-hmm. you can only get it by being bitten by a mosquito that's carrying it.
Correct.
It doesn't get transmitted human to human.
It does not.
Okay.
So there's no human-to-human transmission. It's a human mosquito, and then the mosquito, if it's not infected but feeds on a person who does have the dengue virus, becomes infected itself.
So that mosquito is the vector kind of that continues
exactly.
that whole connection.
Right.
So how serious is it? I mean,
well, the what we call serotypes, basically the four types of dengue, is important because if you get infected to one of the types, you are basically protected for life, but you can still get infected to the other three. So if you have the misfortune of getting all four infections, then you'll be basically protected after you've received those four infections. The first infection is known as dengue fever, where you develop the fevers and the chills and you're quite ill for 3 to 4 days. And then you have some fatigue, the fever goes away and it actually resolves pretty well. And there is no mortality associated with it. On your second infection, however, the first infection sort of sets up, sort of primes you for developing a very severe form of dengue infection on your second infection.
So there's just let me get this straight. Mm-hmm. So regardless of what serotype you're infected with, the first incident of any infection, basically you can recover from fairly readily, you said.
That's right.
But what it does is set up maybe an immune reaction.
Correct.
That will be more intensified, much like an allergic kind of reaction, the second time.
Exactly. And not everyone will experience that, but your risk for developing the severe form is 100-fold than if you hadn't
wow.
had the second infection. And this particular severe form is called dengue hemorrhagic fever. And it's a typical hemorrhagic producing virus, very similar to yellow fever, maybe not as severe as Ebola, but certainly in terms of the same kind of immune reaction that causes such severity, there's some very common pathways.
So when you say hemorrhagic, mm-hmm. help us understand what happens in the body.
So you develop very high fever. You develop your liver enzymes are damaged to the liver. But more importantly, the inner lining of your blood vessels becomes damaged. So it leaks the fluid from inside the blood vessels to the outside.
So you're bleeding within.
You're bleeding within, and you lose fluid within so that you can go into to shock pretty quickly, in fact, pretty rapidly over an hour or so. In addition, those factors in your blood that help you to clot blood, like when you get a cut, are consumed, so you develop a bleeding disorder. And those platelets, which also help you to clot blood, also drop to a dangerous level. So you can have pretty massive bleeding as well. That's why we call it a hemorrhagic fever.
So basically, in the second go-round, it's potentially life-threatening.
Well, it is potentially life-threatening, and if not treated appropriately, 10 out of 100 people can die from it.
Wow. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with Dr. Timothy Endy, and we're talking about dengue fever. So it can be that serious, especially if it's the second time around. What kind of, there's no cure, so what kind of treatment is offered?
It's what we call supportive therapy, which means that you recognize the drop in the blood pressure, so you give them fluid replacements to get their blood pressure back up. If they're bleeding internally into the gastrointestinal tract, then you replace their volume with blood products and basically support them through the crisis, which can last up to 72 hours. And as you get the patient through that, then their survivability becomes pretty certain.
So basically, with the right care, even that second, more serious form can be supported.
Yeah, with appropriate care. And Thailand is a great example of this because they've been dealing with this for almost since the 1950s. They have entire wards set up to treat hemorrhagic fever. And they have a very specific treatment guidelines. And their mortality has gone down to less than, you know, one death per thousand patients.
So you, I know that, well, let me ask you this first. It's now been, it's kind of resurged mm-hmm. in the United States, where it had been, as you said, in the 1700s, there had been outbreaks. And then we kind of had eliminated it. It's mm-hmm. back in the United States now.
Correct.
In what numbers? I mean, where is it mostly?
Well, Mexico has had a long problem with dengue. In fact, they had a large outbreak this year. So there's been dengue introduced into Texas along the Mexico border since the 1990s, and they've been sort of limited outbreaks. What we have going for us in the United States is this very magical instrument called the window screen. And the window screen is a very effective barrier for keeping a lot of these mosquitoes out. Of course, if you go outside and have a picnic or you're sitting outside, you're still susceptible to biting. But, you know, we in the United States have an infrastructure that sort of limits our exposure for a high degree, unlike poorer nations that don't have window screens. So Texas had a very limited outbreak. 2 years ago, dengue was introduced in Key West, Florida. And that has actually spread. The first outbreak was about 120 patients. That became quite ill. And now every year it's coming back. It's now within the mosquito population. So there's been several hundred cases. In fact, I saw a patient who was hospitalized at a hospital here in Syracuse who got dengue from Key West, Florida.
Wow. So should we in Central New York worry, I guess?
Well, there's a lot of things to worry about.
Well, I mean specifically about dengue.
You know, I wouldn't, you know, have your eyes wide open at night staring at the ceiling worrying about dengue. But it is a health concern. There has been a documented case of dengue in a person in Long Island, and that person never traveled anywhere. Puerto Rico has been experiencing very large outbreaks of dengue every year for almost 20 years. And there's a lot of travelers from Puerto Rico to parts of New York, and maybe this was the cause of that. We don't have the right mosquito vector up here in upstate New York.
We've been, But we do have the Triple E, and we do have West Nile.
We do have other mosquito vectors, but the one that transmits dengue is basically two types of mosquitoes, Aedes aegypti and Alba pictus. And they really like a warmer environment, and it's just way too cold. That's the only advantage we have up here.
I was going to say, our winters kill them off.
Or, that's right. Scares them away.
So you have had a very interesting background, which we could go into in great detail, but you've done a lot of research over the years in dengue, I know, and are currently doing that.
Right.
But I understand you yourself had the infection. Tell us about that.
Well, I was stationed in Bangkok, Thailand. We have a large overseas laboratory, and that's where I started doing my work research in dengue. And so I lived there with my family for about 5 years. And we had a field site in the upper part of Thailand called Kampongpet, which is studies that are still going on. And we had a very large cohort of children who were following year by year to see just what the full burden of dengue infection was. And we would sample their blood 3 times a year in all 2,400 kids.
Wow.
And during May of 1 year, I was out there sampling blood, and it's very hot. There's a lot of mosquitoes around. Some of these kids are sick with dengue. And unfortunately, I was infected by a mosquito. And I became ill a couple weeks later, which I thought was a bad case of flu. Only it was very, very bad. It lasted for, 3, 4, 5 days of very severe pain and fever. And, of course, I had a dengue lab, and so they ran my blood work and told me that, of course, I had a dengue too, actually.
Wow. But then, of course, you recovered.
I did.
And you have not been exposed again, or you haven't had any problem?
I haven't had any problem. I still continue to do research there. Several times a year I go back for these studies, but haven't had the recurrence of that.
In the little bit of time we have left, I want to get to your current research. So You are currently right here at Upstate doing research in dengue. Are you trying to develop a vaccine? And if so, tell us about that briefly.
Yeah, in fact, we have a whole group of dengue researchers here now. We are supporting industry to develop a dengue vaccine. There is actually a dengue vaccine trial ongoing now in support of a vaccine by Sanofi, and hopefully there'll be future ones by GSK and others. So we are in need of volunteers to do safety studies, what we call phase 1 studies for dengue vaccines.
We'll have that information on our website if any of our listeners are interested in participating. So they can go to our HealthLink on Air, that's all one word, .org, and see.
We have projects in Ecuador right now to look at dengue burden, and also projects that continue on in Thailand.
So you are actively still engaged in this.
Oh, and yeah.
Do you foresee that in your career path, your career time, that you will have a viable vaccine?
Yes.
And do you think that we'll be able to stop or reduce the spread of dengue pretty successfully?
I think we'll make a big dent in it.
Well, it's such interesting work. And I guess one very last question, is there other methods of prevention like mosquito prevention that we're actively doing in this country now?
Well, just like they do for Triple E, they've done aerial spraying, wearing personal protection such as DEET products or insect repellents, getting rid of all the...
Standing water.
Exactly, standing water around your house. Those are very important measures to do.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. My guest has been Dr. Timothy Endy, Chief of Infectious Diseases, and he's an Associate Professor of Medicine at Upstate Medical University and obviously a very significant dengue researcher. I'm Linda Cohen. You're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.